Good afternoon and welcome to Arcane Connection number 4. Joining me today is Tom Knoll, I'm CJ, and as always we're here to talk about Ars Magica, the role-playing game. Ars Magica remains a trademark of our Trident Games, trading as Atlas Games. So, Tom, what are we going to talk about today?
Tribunals and stories and link them.
Right, now we don't actually mean tribunals as in Novgorod or Loch Leglian or the Sanctuary of Ice, do we? We're not talking about the Elves, the Greater Elves. No, we're talking about the tribunal meeting. And one of the first things you discover when you start your new 1220 Ars Magica saga is that within 1 year, you've got your first tribunal meeting and the game suddenly gets really political.
Yeah.
Actually, I just remembered something. First ever Grand Tribunal UK we did. We'd got the hall booked from 12 o'clock,
yes.
And in the morning we had breakfast, etc., and everyone met up. We went down there for 12, and we were about to convene the tribunal when Neil said, let's wait for 5 minutes. And I said, why? And he said, well, it's 12:15. If we wait till 12:20, Ars Magica always starts at 12:20. A fifth edition joke.
Yes, because it used to be 1190.
Yeah, 1187, I think, one of the editions. Right. But yeah, so 12:20 is the canonical start date for Ars Magica, and 12:21... unless you're in the Stonehenge Tribunal, when I can't remember what year, is it 21 or 22? But anyway, they're a year before or a year later, according to Heirs to Merlin.
Yeah.
But in 1221, 1 year into your game, which in Ars Magica terms might be just two or three sessions or even a single session,
yeah.
Suddenly your Magi are going to have to turn up to a tribunal meeting. That can cause problems. And then in 1228, you've got the Grand Tribunal. 1228, I think.
Yes, 1228 is the first Grand Tribunal.
And because that one also happens to be 7 years after 1221, you're going to have a regional tribunal and a grand tribunal.
So the regional tribunal, most places, gets shifted forward a year earlier.
Or a few seasons, at least.
Yes. So the great once every couple of centuries conjunction occurs 8 years into ours these days.
Right. Don't
That's
worry.
It's me throwing books by trying to find your tribunal books.
Well, don't worry about that for the moment. I mean, the thing which really matters, Tom's impersonating a poltergeist to help me in my other research interest. For those who don't know, I'm currently writing a book on poltergeist cases. In 1221, you've got this tribunal meeting, and I've been playing Ars Magica a long time, and when I'm story guide, I still tend to be rather horrified when I find that I've got a tribunal coming up, because telling stories about tribunals is hard work.
My first piece of advice about telling a tribunal story, don't.
But it's an integral part of the background of the game, and Ars Magica works on many levels, and if you want to focus on, you know, an isolationist based on who have nothing to do with the rest of your tribunal,
yeah,
that works well. But the problem is that there's inherent issues in the game that mean that Magi are part of an order,
yeah,
the Order of Hermes, and clearly they want to actually interact with it, because no matter how well designed your Covenant library, no matter how well designed the spells within it, sooner or later you're going to need either WIS or books or resources, lab texts,
yep,
which you don't have access to. And rather than spending 4 seasons inventing a level 25 spell, you might want to take that entire year off and go off and try and trade for a lab text with another, yep, covenant. Spend a season copying some out and then go and swap lab texts. In fact, one of the arguments you could make is that organically, lab texts, if they are that easy to copy and swap, yeah, most libraries would be even better than they are in Ars Magica. But yeah, I don't know, that's a difficult question. I mean, one of those other questions is Spring Covenants always start with a selection of lab texts,
yeah,
and WIS and resources. Where does that come from? And I think that's one thing that you need to examine when you set up your Spring Covenant, is who granted them, yeah, the resources.
Did they just copy from the people, the Magi they studied under?
Yeah,
or
if they're newly gauntleted.
Yeah.
It's not a problem if you're dropping your characters into an established covenant.
No.
Or a second Spring Covenant, one that's been through winter and is recovering. But you might want to come a bit closer to the mic, Tom. So tribunal stories are a real headache, and I think we've long appreciated this. So let's just think about the actual structural issues. Imagine that you've got somewhere between 8 and 12 covenants in a tribunal.
Like most do in the books.
About 100 magi. I mean, do you sit down and start out 100 magi?
You do, no one else does.
Yeah, some people do. And if you've got MetaCreator, then
yep,
that's a great little program. You can download a demo of it, but to actually get a copy that's functional, those characters you need to pay, but it's worth it. Sadly, my copy doesn't work. It still works, but I can't update it. I should say that I saw that Peggy Thrum, or however you say her name, has just released 10 years on the Divine update for Meta Creator. If you're really into Ars Magica to the level where you're listening to Arcane Connection, or maybe you're just a general roleplayer thinking about trying Ars Magica, I do recommend Meta Creator and printing out the instruction books and learning how to use it. It takes a lot of getting your head around.
But I've seen you use it. You can generate characters a lot more quickly than doing it just by hand.
And yeah, and buying the little supplements. And I mean, I'm really quite excited about the Divine one, but I need a new PC to install it on because, as I say, since I've redid the partitions on this one, it doesn't work properly. That's nothing to do with Meta Creator. That's down to me mangling my computer and, you know, having to reformat it. So,
the Major of the Tribunal, I mean, do you just come up with a list of names, assign them houses, and just go, there's this many Bjornair, this many Meronita turning up?
Yeah, because the other way lies madness. I mean, you can design each covenant in covenants, and in my latest Provence saga that I'm running at the moment, what I've done is I've designed a couple of the covenants using Meta Creator. Save time, and I am updating it as I go, as well as the player one. But just doing the NPCs from the covenant they're in is taking me 3 or 4 hours between sessions just to do the updates for what they're doing.
Although, one way you can cut down the work slightly is the purposes of the tribunal. There's the social function of Magi coming together to trade, swap news. There's the legislative function of the quiet tools bringing cases and people being cases against each other.
Yep.
So that's all the legal parts. And then there's all the political parts, again, of trying to get people to vote on different matters. Now, with a lot of these, the legal part and the political part all comes down to voting in the end.
Yeah.
So with this lot, you can use the idea of the proxy vote and people handing their sigils to each other to vote to have, most governments will have one person has come along to do the voting and will represent their colleagues.
I think the trouble then is you get the idea that covenants vote en bloc, like the Tremere do through their tribunes.
Yeah.
And then it becomes very black and white, and covenants don't seem to work like that. I think, to me, realistically, the easiest way to do it is to choose 3 magi from each covenant, because that seems to be a reasonable average. I mean, 3 cases are brought at Grand Tribunal by each regional tribunal.
Yeah.
So if you send 3 or 4 magi from each covenant, and they may represent different parties, houses, etc., and they should be the characters who would have a reason to leave the lab and be politically involved.
But you're still left with 24 to 36 names and personalities.
Yeah. So you need to know who they are. Now, probably by this stage, by the time you've started your saga, you've drawn a map and noted where the covenants are. So you'll probably need to have some rough idea of who's in them. But you only need 3 or 4 at most from each covenant. Say 3. I think that's a good average. So now you've got it down to a more reasonable 30 characters. And one
reasonable thing, he says. Well, reasonable.
Well, what I would do is take a sheet of A4, knock out the names of the covenants, a 2-line description of the covenant for the players if they're not particularly familiar with it, or just as a reminder, and those magi present, and the number of votes they're holding, and print that off and give it to each character the week before, to each player, so they can have a look at who's going to be attending the tribunal, and assume they receive this from the red cap to say who was intending to arrive.
Okay.
If there's a Quisitor in your party, in your covenant, which is actually rare in my experience, very few people seem to play House Guernicus, but maybe that's just our bunch. What you can then do is also have some advance notification of the legal cases that are going to be coming up. And it's possible, if you want to do it in downtime, you can email players about other members of their house, approaching them about, you know, in downtime, what's appeared from the red caps about issues that are going to be coming up. So they've had time to think about it.
Assuming you actually give your players red cap mail.
Yeah, I mean, red cap mail, actually handling correspondence takes a lot of time in between sessions. And quite often, life is busy. We're doing things. We're dealing with cats. We're attending meetings. We're working, you know, holding down jobs. Okay, yeah, I know that last is a bit fantastic. You know, I'm more likely to believe in dragons. But
in our current song, it's been a running joke of, where's the red cap mail gone?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, it's turned into part of the plot.
And we do, in fact, have more unicorn swarms than bagfuls of red cap mail.
Mm. But one thing I have been doing quite a bit in the game is, in between sessions, emailing replies to correspondence. So it's become more of a political game.
Yeah.
But I mean, the focus has always been, a lot of players I know don't play ours because they like to turn up to a session, play an adventurous story, have a drink with their friends afterwards, go home.
Yeah.
you know, it's a social exercise. They don't want to have to think a lot about the game in between. Whereas Ars Magica is brilliant for people who want to spend time committed to the campaign.
Oh, do you now wish to carefully look at all the private correspondence in between you, the Primus of your house, two or three other covenants, and try to keep juggling everything?
This way, life magic. So, a couple of options and ways in which people have tried to address the tribunal issue. Now, Gerard Wiley has been running a great series of, been writing a great series of articles, what's essentially a story guide's handbook. Which is something I've been arguing we need for the line for about a couple of years now. Well, more than that. I remember discussing it with David at Grand Tribunal 2010 or 11. I don't know, the last one he was at. And I said we need a story guide's handbook because, you know, it would just make life so much easier if we actually had some. But there doesn't seem to be any great enthusiasm for that as a project at the moment. But I would like to see it. But one of the things I think we do need something on, and Gerald Wiley hasn't so far covered, which I think he will do, is how to run tribunal stories, which is the topic today. So let's give some concrete advice. My first advice is you can do it the way I've suggested. You can provide players with a list of who's present.
Yeah.
And you can tell the stories about allowing the players freedom of choice. The other classic method was pioneered by David Chart in Negrosaxa and Promises, Promises. And I think it's in the Negrosaxa PDF, which is available freely on the web, Nigrasaxa. It's the 4th edition. It's set in the Stonehenge Tribunal. But what it's got there is each of the players is given control of one of the other covenants. And that covenant and a selection of wheats and books to trade and objectives. And it runs like a mini freeform. Now, freeforming is a UK term. It doesn't mean without rules. It's a kind of a LARPing that doesn't involve hitting one another with rubber swords or any kind of active combat. It's talking, negotiation kind of game. And so in this case, in our one, you might take on Elba Rosa and represent the one Magi who's come from Elba Rosa.
Yep.
Kev might have Sagittarius, and different covenants will be represented by different players.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you play your own characters as well, but on top of that, you actually handle all the NPCs from those covenants as you pursue it.
So people get a realistic sense of there's some motivation behind who's training for what.
Now, there's an older style of before freeforming called committee games. And committee games grew out of war games, which were largely about, you know, playing a general and his ADCs and trying to actually organise the army structure during a battle. So they come out of Kriegsspiel. And committee games quite often have victory points. I wrote a... Years ago, one of my friends, Anne, and they said, look, you know, role-playing games are only interesting if they're set in fantasy backgrounds. You can't write interesting games other than sci-fi and fantasy. Because you don't, who wants to role-play EastEnders? And I, at the time, was arguing that was quite interesting. She said, no, she wasn't convinced that historical games could work. So I wrote Boots for the Glory of Russia, which is a kind of mini freeform strike committee game set in a St. Petersburg boot factory.
Yeah.
There's a freeform version of it, which isn't quite the game I wrote, that Steve Haverly developed, and that's available free to download on the web or on my blog. It's for, I think, 9 players, and it deals with a strike in a boot factory in revolutionary Russia.
Yeah.
It worked, and in that, in the original game, the difference between the version available now and the original version I wrote was the original had victory points.
Right.
And so you could play a tribunal as a kind of semi-war game, semi-board game with victory points.
So people get a point for each trade they end up on, a point for each vote they win.
That kind of thing.
So the players are trying to get each covenant one-upmanship over each other.
And there's a lovely set designed by somebody of Weiss cards, which you can download off the web. You could actually trade them. It's something you can do around a table with a small group of role players, 4 or 5, giving them a covenant each, and the referee handing the other covenants who aren't as politically involved or don't bother to turn up. I mean, of course, in Stonehenge, you can always use the argument that it's not core. There hasn't been the tribunal in years because the fight between Voluntas and Blackthorn.
Yep. Or in Loch Leglin, people frequently, the attendance is poor.
Now, I tried, last time we did a tribunal, I tried asking the players to assign votes to which covenants they would like to control, and that was how I was going to do it. So that's one method, is I'd quit the committee game approach, or the Negrosaxa approach, which isn't quite a freeform. The next method, of course, if you've seen, I think it's called the Fallen Fane, about the Covenant of Farnham in Germany, or you've played in any of mine, as I know you have, Grand Tribunal Freeforms, you can find 30 people, get them to dress up in robes, give each of them a character, including the ones from the thing, and you can do it that way. And
won't really work for your regular saga if you're trying to do this for every 7 years worth of game.
Well, do the players turn up every 7 years? Probably, yeah. But I mean, you can do that. You write 3 or 4 characters from each And you can do Stonehenge with 21 characters, I think I did it. And you can do pretty much any tribunal with 21
from
there, players.
Ooh, 36 people plus a Pride Home Prize Tour.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you can do
if
that.
If you've got 37 role-playing friends, you could probably do a Grand Tribunal.
But they don't need stats, they just need a list of things they're trying to achieve. Yeah. And if you download some of the free forms that are available on the web, there are some, you can do it, but you need 30 friends. Another way that I was going to try with a Black Chicken Kickstarter, I'm going to call the IRC method. IRC is Internet Relay Chat, but I mean, yep, any kind of internet chat that will handle 30 people,
yep,
works. And
that's going to be a mess.
Well, I was going to try, one thing I've been keen on trying for about 10 years, I've talked about on and off, is doing a forum game in which we have 14 players who are the primi of the houses.
Right.
And what I was thinking about doing is expanding it to 30 players. And IRC chat would allow you to have all 30 online typing at the same time.
But that needs so many little side chambers to do.
Well, you can...
Because you can't manage conversation like
you
that.
You can click on someone's name and send them a private message on most internet relay chat sites. If you're doing microphone chat like this, the bandwidth would absolutely... I mean, video conferencing with that many people is just impossible. But using IRC chat, or doing it as a forum game.
Maybe.
And so, over a week, with email, you could get your non-Ars friends, give them a character and ask them to join, or recruit people off the Atlas Games forum.
Yeah.
And I think that could work. I mean, what I was going to try and do was ask our regular group to turn up to the IRC forum and play the NPCs and interact with the players. But it's just a question of getting everybody in the same time zone.
Yeah.
And available.
Everyone wanting to turn up and play NPCs for someone's game for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun possibility. And I think the Primus game, in which we actually look at the long-term politics of Mythic Europe over a period of maybe three decades with 20 to 30 players, either a forum game or possibly an IRC game. I was thinking of doing it as a forum game and then going live IRC.
But again, this is taking it to a big scale. Wait, what might be the experience or need of your saga, your tribunal?
Well, actually, that seems quite close to my ambitions as a player, doesn't it? I mean, you know, this is the man who runs yes. events with that many players on a regular basis whenever I can, and just, you know, when I run out of Ars Magica players, I go out and recruit some more.
Yes, but what if you're not a megalomaniac like CJ and just wish to run a game for your three or four Ars playing buddies?
Okay, in that case, the Negro Saxon committee game approach, we've talked about the free-forming approach, I've discussed the possibility of the IRC approach. The sanest approach, and this is the one I would go down, let's say that you've got a few friends who turn up, and trying to get them to turn up every week is a bit of a nightmare, and that you're not going to be able to recruit wives, girlfriends, lovers, and sisters, lovers, friends into your group. I mean, you know, obviously the best answer here is to go out and seduce some men or women and then teach them Ars Magica. But, you know, I understand...
But assuming you're not the world's greatest evangelist for Ars Magica.
Assuming that you can't actually just go out and find people to play Ars Magica, the other way I would go is sod the whole thing. Forget about all of the politics. Imagine for a moment that you're actually looking at a detective story. Let's go for a classic, something like Dorothy L. Sayers, or Lord, you know, one of her Lord Peter Wimsey ones, or an Agatha Christie.
Right.
Now, in that, the action is set often, let's say it's a country house.
Yeah.
And as it happens, the butler did it, but it doesn't matter. There might be 30 people resident, yeah, but the servants, the grogs in this case, they are only important in as far as they witness something, or, you know, they appear to deliver drinks and disappear off.
Right.
So, you know, to start with, not every character needs to get equal attention. Now, the important bit in this is that the plot doesn't focus on the 30 guests.
Yeah.
All of the guests will be delineated as being present, but only those who become suspects.
Yeah.
And it's shown from the perspective of the detective. So here, it's protagonist first. The player characters are what really matters. So what you actually do is you write a story set at a tribunal.
So say they have a particular issue they're involved with.
Yeah,
they will have to go around and talk to NPCs to get the votes for that particular vote. Everything else, by the wayside, doesn't matter.
You can say, and in the afternoon, a case was brought against a magus who was accused of depriving somebody of their magical resources. The magus was called Tyrinius. He had deprived Alexa of her magical resources, and the vote was very close. However, you voted...
It was found against him. He has been fined so many points of this.
Yeah, and... I mean, one of the real problems with it is that there's only, even if you've only got 80 to 100 votes, it's very unlikely that many cases are going to be balanced on a knife edge. So you only need to focus on the judicial cases and on the legislative cases, who owns what resource, whether the peripheral coaching belongs, on the issues where there isn't already broad agreement. And the factions, the political groups who are trying to get involved might be important, but I would say, unless that's what your story is about, keep it largely in the background, at least for your first tribunal. Tell a story about something happening. Now, I took that to its logical extreme with my Sub Rosa thing. I think I mentioned it last podcast.
Kicking Archmagus Darius up the arse.
Oh, yeah. Love Labour's Lust. Or Kicking Archmagus Darius up the arse. Yeah. Because that's about a group of grogs who go to a tribunal, and the tribunal occurs. And when we ran it, some quite important decisions were made, which we talked about as players and played through quickly.
But the Magi were locked in the legislative chamber doing their business, while the Grogs went about having a competition with each other and dealing with the forfeit for losers.
Yeah, and that made it a much more entertaining tribunal than most of us. Yeah. It's one of the ones we can remember, isn't it?
And of course, none of the Magi has ever dared to kick off violence against anyone else in tribunal, whereas the Grogs, murdering a Magus and trying to cover it up, has accidentally occurred in our playtest.
One thing actually I would say is, I mentioned free-forming tribunals. Free-forming tribunals can be profoundly dull. I speak from experience. I've written tribunals set, free-form set, LARPs set at tribunals, and it sounds like a lot of fun. But
and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I had an ex-girlfriend who, I think it was what actually finished our relationship, in fact it was the final straw in our relationship breakup, was that she said that we attended we played a LARP tribunal, it wasn't a Grand Tribunal one, and she said it was about as exciting as the committee stages of the repeal of the Corn Laws. She spent all week sitting in committee meetings at work where you couldn't stand up, couldn't do anything, couldn't spit out spells, and waited for the chairman or preco to give you the right to speak.
And I'm sorry, I have an urgent appointment to go watch paint dry.
It can be dull. It can be dull. So that's why we don't emphasise those things. We choose an aspect. We choose something that really could be colourful.
Yeah.
You choose three or four major characters and a theme, and you run it on the theme. So yeah, I'm just going to go for a protagonist first, story first approach. Let the players make decisions. Let them become aware of the politics. Let them play it how they want. But deal with a lot of the actual debates and preparation for the votes. If there's something which is crucial to the player characters, then use the debate rules or use rules and actually make it political and have them go around and talk to characters. And one of the things player characters are keen to do is to talk to lots of NPCs. So you have to be ready to referee lots of NPCs if you do. But try and find a focus that's so overwhelmingly story. So long as the players are actually making decisions, so long as they're engaged, it makes for a good game. I mean, would you say that was fair?
Yes. Looking at the terms of prep work, though, the thing with Tribunal is there are so many characters them to want to talk to. They will want to talk to a lot of them. So we need a lot of names ready, a lot of character descriptions, just so people can have these different NPCs, differentiate them in their mind.
Yeah, what Whis, what lab texts, what magic items they brought for
I'm
trading.
I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking what they look like, their personality, any obvious mannerisms.
Yeah, so you can differentiate them.
So people differentiate them, have in their mind who it is they're thinking about for this and that.
Do a player handout with this stuff on, so they've got a list of who's present and what they look like, etc.
Yeah, but of course, that adds to the prep time, which is my worry.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you're willing to spend 30 minutes writing a side of A4, with the names of the Magi, or maybe two sides of A4. And it's worth doing, because once you've established them, they're there for the whole saga.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them will die, some of them will fall out. And
but you can hand wave over a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, what you can do is you can go for... A while ago, I did 30 cases. Well, actually, I think I got to about 21, 22.
A case a day back in November.
Back in November, till it annoyed people with me filling up the entire forum cases, so I stopped doing it. But the actual thing there, I mean, other people joined in and did some as well, it's good fun, I found, was we were writing what were effectively hermetic whodunits.
Yes, but a tribunal case, so people present the evidence, people then argue about it.
Yeah, and forums are good, actually, for running tribunals, I think. I think that was a good way of doing it.
Because people will jump in with their opinion, their point of view, any legal points of view they can think of. Any precedents?
But, right, 1221, coming up, you've just started your saga, you're living in a fairy wood, you've got a squirrel familiar, there's a mad old witch who lives in the cave down the road, you're suddenly, the red caps turn up and say, come to tribunal. Why are you engaged? Why do you need to be there? Well, you probably need to be there because...
You probably just want to turn up, trade, and go, do we have to vote? Can't I just have my proxy on to some?
Yeah, and I think that's where you've got an immediate opportunity to force people into stories, is to make them choose sides on a couple of political issues, but you shouldn't overdo it for 1221. For 1221, it might be about meeting one particular Magus, or about your decision about what a particular point of Hermetic law means. It might be a chance to meet your fellow Merenita and to learn a few secrets. It might be a chance to finally make sure that that contested beast source is found in your favour. Though in 1221, if it's not much of a contested beast source hook, if you sort it out at your first tribunal.
No.
In the second one, Grand Tribunal, I think that's going to be a whole new podcast because we're running short on time.
But let's face it, until you've actually tried to change the entire face of your tribunal, if you manage to change your entire tribunal and get a big thing put into the peripheral code for that tribunal, then you've probably got a case to take to Grand Tribunal until you're either at the level where you are the Primus's best buddy or you've got a huge issue to bring before. You're not actually going to attend Grand Tribunal.
No, a decade ago when we were playing in Provence, we were messing around. We had Saga that lasted for about 18 years game time, ran over 1 year real time. And in that, the players managed to bring a peripheral code thing arguing that Crusaders were not mundanes for the purposes of interfering with, and therefore could be attacked because they had divine auras under the 4th edition rules. And or possibly actually 3rd edition Pax Dei rules, and therefore they said they were allied with the Divine Realm and therefore they were fair targets. Which I thought was an incredibly dodgy argument, but because of course...
technically there's a very vague case to be made.
Yeah, so and...
if that, you can get the votes.
That was eventually referred to Grand Tribunal. That was the only time I think we've ever had a Grand Tribunal instigated issue brought up. I mean, you know, that was a long time ago and the game has changed since then. So, yeah, I mean... other advice for running up First Tribunal, we create a page of NPCs, think about giving covenants to players to play if they're up for that, discuss with players beforehand what they want to get out of the tribunal, and then come up with a story, whether it's about a legal case, whether it's about somebody trading something, whether it's about something you hear that's happening. The other option is, I mentioned earlier that in Call of Cthulhu, one of the questions that always used to come up for me was, when you find the mad cultists and the supernatural monster in the basement, why don't you go and call the police?
They can turn up, arrest all the bad guys.
Yeah, and people used to say, well, it's not very Lovecraftian, is it? Actually, yeah, it's very Lovecraftian. If you've read The Shadow Over Innsmouth, what happens there?
The military raid, the cultists.
The FBI turn up, the feds arrest the bad guys.
There's plenty of police investigators in the original stories.
Yeah.
Like the inspector in The Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, Inspector LeGrasse. Yeah. Now, we've got something similar in Ars Magica in that suddenly ye terrible horror turns up. Or ye big and black and hairy and all ye be afraid of it.
It's going to destroy your players' covenant, which is
it's going to destroy the old order.
Well, that's why, in that particular story, your players must solve it. But if it's so big it could threaten the entire tribunal or threaten the entire order, why don't you get all the far more powerful older magi to come and help you?
Yeah. And I mean, for House Tremere, I think that's an essential thing. It's why they're so unpopular, I think, is people forget the fact that in Timothy Ferguson's treatment of them in True Lineages, they're part of a structure. They don't just lose their votes, they actually get stuff back and support. You could take a case to tribunal, and what tends to happen for story reasons is the major, I say, I'm terribly sorry, young man, but this is not part of our remit, and I think your covenant are going to have to deal with the return of Davnalis and House D'Edne allied together, along with the Dragon of the Pyrenees on your own, because as it happens, and a new schism war, all happening in Loch Leglen this summer. Right.
Well, yes, but we've got a very important problem. We think one of our archmagi has lost some correspondence in the mail, and we're sending 50 magi to comb the entire Alps for it.
Yeah, so I think one of the other things about tribunals is they give you a chance to interact and to call upon resources. If that gets the players off the hook and out of a story, so be it, that's their choice. They have actually voted that they want, you know, and they can still be involved, but if some powerful magi turn up or lend them magical items or actually check out and discover that it's not really Davnalis and, Damn Hallowed, or how you say it nowadays, it's not actually...
Big Dave.
Yeah, it's not actually, you know, the libertarian Scottish beginning their terrible uprising from the forest in allied with House D'Edne. What it actually is just an ogre with a few imaginum effects. Yeah, I mean, you know, if that derails stories, so be it. But being tribunals should give you the chance to ask for resources, to negotiate with others, and to appeal in emergencies to people who can help you. But tribunals are stories, and if you stop thinking of them as meetings
as
or
political
events or politics, and think of them an opportunity to tell a story where a lot of major
it's
together.
Stories with more people than normal.
Doesn't have to be about cases. Doesn't have to be about debates. Doesn't have to be about decisions. It could be a love story. It could be a horror story. Well, we've run out of time once again. I don't know if any of this was useful to you, but this week I've been busy helping out on Andrew Gronowski's Project Red Cap project and reading Antagonists, which I found a fantastic book. Tom, any news?
As usual, I've managed to keep things going. I kept our saga running.
And Atlas Games have announced Tales of Power. I can't tell you anything about it, but if you go and have a look at the website, it will tell you. I wasn't an author on it, so I can't tell you anything at all. But if you go and have a look, it's stories about powerful magi, adventures for powerful magi. So on that note, thank you very much. Thanks for listening to Arcane Connection, and it's goodbye from me.
And we'll see you next time.
Take care. Bye.